Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, his new book is Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War. Secretary Gates, thank you very much for your time today, and appreciate you being with me. In May of 2010, you said at the Eisenhower Library, leaving aside the sacred obligation we have to America's wounded warriors, healthcare costs are eating the Defense Department alive. The new budget request that came out yesterday would ask TRICARE participants to pay more. You write in your book about the approach Congress takes to defense matters, and it strikes me that this TRICARE issue is really the microcosm of what you detail about that relationship with Congress in the book, because members are already saying, absolutely not, we won't have any of that. Is that the experience that you had as Secretary of Defense, sir?
Yes, absolutely. What we were trying to do, I mean, the reality is that health care costs for the Department of Defense increased from about $12 billion in 2000 to almost $60 billion in 2011, the last year that I was secretary. And that's just unsustainable. There's just no question about it. Compensation benefits now take between a third and a half of the defense budget. And if you say you can't change any of that, then what you end up doing is ending up with significantly less military capability. What we were trying to do was make a very small increase in the premium paid by working age retirees. This is not about the active duty force. This is not about people who reach the age of 62. This is about people between 42 and 62 who are paying $460 a year for family health care, and we had the radical proposal of increasing that $5 a month, so $520 a year for family coverage. And it got voted down 3 years in a row up on the Hill. So you can't have it both ways. You can't call for a more sensible defense budget and more sensible defense spending and then refuse to address issues like compensation and benefits, much less unneeded facilities and so on.
That's the same cohort that was subject to the slowing of the cost of living adjustment in the bipartisan budget agreement. That's been shot down, too. Does that give you any hope, or does that maybe kill any hope that you might have that something like this might happen, or is this another instance of the can't-change-anything caucus winning?
I draw a distinction between the health care and the retirement. On the retirement, I think that's basically a contract, and I think the government has to fulfill the contract that it has. So changes in retirement pay and the way we do retirement compensation, I think, has to be largely grandfathered. One of the concerns that I had is that 80% of the men and women in uniform do not stay in long enough to retire. And so you have those people leaving the service with 5-10 years of service, and they don't get anything. So as we look to the future, we ought to try and figure out a way where you could have something like a 401k for young people joining the service so that when they do leave, they have something they can take with them, and they've accumulated something during those 5 or 10 years of service. But I think those things need to be grandfathered, because I believe we have a contract in effect with those who have already served when it comes to retirement. Some of the benefits, housing allowances, the health care costs for retirees and so on, those things were never intended to be to stay the way they are when Congress created the TRICARE in the 1990s and imposed a premium for the first time. That basically said this is going to be a pay for a benefit. And I think we just need to differentiate between those two things.
Robert Gates, the former Secretary of Defense and author of the book Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War. Secretary Gates, yesterday was also, in addition to the release of the budget request from the White House, the release of the 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review. You write about the last one in your book, the 2010 QDR. You write, its conclusions about strategy and priorities were detached from actual budget decisions. We tried hard but with incomplete success to avoid that pitfall in the 2010 QDR. Where do you think your success was incomplete there, and how can future secretaries of defense avoid that pitfall?
Well, I think that the biggest concern is that you have strategies that require forces that are unlikely to be paid for, that you lay out capabilities that you think you ought to have in order to carry out certain missions, and they tend not to be able to be funded in the way that would be necessary to accomplish those strategies. I think that has been the case for a long time. And the irony is, one of the criticisms of the 2010 QDR was that it wasn't aggressive enough in the forces that we would need. That's where I said we had a partial success, because there was some measure of reality to what we were saying we could do. But I think that this is a continuing problem.
Linking the budget to the strategy is kind of, it strikes me, a chicken or egg deal, where it's difficult to determine which comes first. It's also difficult to do them simultaneously. Is it just difficult to do them simultaneously, Secretary Gates, or is it impossible? One has to come before the other.
Well, I think the problem is that there is the temptation on the part of defense experts and strategists to devise the strategy, to say, here's what we need to be able to do. And oftentimes it's just at odds with the political reality in Washington and on the Capitol Hill in terms of the resources you're actually going to get to do it. I think you have to work them simultaneously. And, you know, it's like everything else in Washington. You end up making compromises.
You used a phrase at the Pentagon, and you repeated in the book a number of times, about systems or capabilities that you didn't want, didn't need, couldn't afford. Is that a situation that is possible to disappear, or is that problem inherent in the political nature of the appropriations process, do you think?
I think it's inherent in the appropriations process, but I think that we made a lot of headway in countering that. In 2009, we were able to cut nearly three dozen major defense programs that, had they been built out over time, would have cost the taxpayers about $330 billion. But it required a firm threat of a veto of the defense appropriations bill by the president, and it required a lot of tough negotiating on the part of the Pentagon. But we made it happen. And so it can be done, but if you allow members of Congress to keep telling you to do things that don't make any sense whatsoever, then our real military capabilities are clearly going to suffer.
You talked about overhead a number of times in office and in the book, and cutting overhead, putting that money toward force structure and modernization. And you called it in your book, Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War, a war on the Pentagon. How do you rate your success in that war, sir, and how can future DOD officials wage that war more successfully?
Well, my war on the Pentagon was kind of at two levels. One was to try and get the equipment that troops in Iraq and Afghanistan needed in a timely way, in weeks and months, not years, and medevac and various other capabilities, and the bureaucracy resisted a lot of that. But the other piece, as you suggest, was how do you cut that incredible overhead and waste inside the Pentagon. And we did that. We cut about $180 billion in 2010 over looking ahead about 10 years. But it is very tough, but it can be done. And I remember when I cut a combatant command, the Joint Forces Command, in Tidewater, Virginia. I thought the entire Virginia delegation was going to have a complete meltdown, even though it had the potential to save about $1 billion a year, and everybody agreed it was no longer needed. So when you begin to deal with this kind of overhead, you do run into these political problems. But the reality is, I think if you work with the services, the key is if you're making them cut overhead at the same time they're cutting capability, it's very difficult. One of the things that enabled us to get at a lot of the overhead was that I promised the services, if you cut overhead, I'll let you reinvest it in real military capabilities. in new aircraft, in new equipment and so on that we do need. So it's very tough, but it can be done, but it requires the secretary to be on top of it every single day.